If your hope is in this world, you're going to be disappointed. So thankful that we can put our confidence, our trust in the Lord today. Amen. You know, when you lose someone, a loved one, and you know that they were ready to go to heaven, what a comfort that is. Amen. When you know that they're with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord, it just takes away the sting of death, doesn't it? It really does. What a wonderful thing it is to know that we have a hope that's beyond this world. Praise God. Amen. The book of Genesis today, Genesis, I'm going to read one verse of scripture to get started here this morning. This verse is toward the end of all the troubles and trials that Joseph experienced. And finally, his brethren and his family, they're all coming back. They're all coming to Egypt, and he's going to save them from the drought and the terrible circumstances that they are in. But the words of Joseph are pretty amazing. He says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me." Of course, he's talking to his brothers. "But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." You know, one of the advantages, there's not that many advantages of getting older, but one of the advantages of getting older is when you look back through the highs and the lows of your life, you can see the hand of God. In your trials, in your darkest hours, in the highs and the lows, in the good times and the bad times, and when you look back, now when you're going through it, it's very difficult to see that the hand of God in it. But when you look back now, as a Christian, we look back on our life and we recognize that through the ups and the downs and the troubles and the sorrows and the dark times and all the different experiences of life, you see the hand of God. And that reminded me, I was thinking, we quote this passage from a song. This is a song that's 100 years old that we have sung over the years of my life. He abides, he abides. This is a little phrase that's in that song. The hand of God in all my life I see. Hallelujah. The hand of God in all my life I see. Now, Joseph is probably only around 30 years old when he makes the statement that I read to you from Genesis chapter 50. When he spoke to his brothers and said, "You thought you meant it for evil, but God had another plan. His plan was something good. Not only good, but something that was going to preserve life. And in the end, it was going to preserve the nation of Israel. And through the lineage of the nation of Israel, the Messiah was going to be born. And I'm sure that he could not have imagined all that God was doing through his troubles and his trials throughout the years of his young life. But at the age of 30, he's young, but he's lived a lot of life by the time he hit the age of 30. You know the story of Joseph in the events of his young life. He's only 17 years old when his brothers begin to develop this jealousy and this hatred toward him, and eventually a plot to kill him. But instead of killing him, selling him to a caravan of Ishmaelites who are on their way to Egypt, they sold him, and then he is taken down to Egypt, sold as a slave to Potiphar, and then he is falsely accused in Potiphar's house and is thrown in jail and spends years and years in prison, and he's forgotten down there. I mean, there's just a lot of life that Joseph has lived by the time he hits age 30. Enough to aging, that's for sure. The wonderful thing, though, about the story of Joseph is there's no indication at all that he got bitter. There's really no indication that his response to all those troubles and all that, that there was ever any expression of anger from him. But instead, the phrase is repeated over and over again. In Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him. And it was obvious that God was with him in Potiphar's house. And the Lord was with him, even when he was thrown in prison. They saw the hand of God was upon his life in all that he was experiencing. And so Joseph, in all that he faced, all the false accusations, all of the abuse, and even the imprisonment that he faced, the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis 39 and 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. It's just an amazing story of the hand of God upon Joseph's life. And I just wanted you all to be encouraged today to know that no matter what you're going through, you may not see the hand of God in it, but if you're a child of God, God's at work. And sometimes he's at work in trouble and setbacks and hardships and dark hours. And you may not be able to see it, but there's going to come a day when you're going to review. You're going to look back and you're going to see, now I can see how the hand of God was at work. Now I can see what God was doing. Now I can see the plan of God that is unfolding in my life. As Paul Harvey used to say, now you know the rest of the story. In one of these days, you may not understand it all now, but God was positioning Joseph for a purpose. He was preparing him for a purpose. And all the while, Joseph just modeled integrity and faithfulness, even in adversity that he faced. The hand of God was on him. The providential hand of God was working in his life. Amen. And I want you to be encouraged today to know that God is, he's working in your life. He's working in the ups and the downs and the struggles and the problems or whatever you might be facing. God is at work in your life and God can use you. Amen. And he is able to do some wonderful things. Let me just give you, I'm going to give you about five, for those of you that are note takers, I'm going to give you five lessons from the life of Joseph. Now, there's a lot more lessons than five, let me assure you, but I'm just going to focus on five lessons from the life of Joseph. Number one, God uses imperfect people. God uses imperfect people. You know, Joseph was from a family that was really pretty flawed. I mean, today we could use the term dysfunctional. This family was pretty dysfunctional. Let me just mention a few things. Joseph's father showed favoritism to Joseph, which created a mountain of problems. And Jacob had learned this favoritism from his own mother and father. They too showed favoritism. Amen. They showed favoritism to Esau and to Jacob, each of those parents. And apparently this was kind of like a generational thing. It was passed on down. Now Jacob is showing favoritism to Joseph. And he made it a very public thing in that he created this coat. Actually, in the Hebrew, it describes it more as a robe, like a flowing probably all the way to the ground. And this was not Dolly Parton's coat of many colors. made it about all the scrap. This was ornate. This was to be envied. This was an expression of his, you know, showing favoritism to his special son that he loved. And this garment, every time that Joseph put it on, jealousy rose up in the hearts of his brothers. That jealousy became hatred. That hatred grew to murder in their heart. And so you can see the dysfunction of this family. And even Joseph, he's only 17 years old when this is all going on. He's not perfect. He's not without flaws himself. It says in the text here, it says that Joseph came back and gave to his father an evil report of his brothers. He was a snitch. He told on his brothers for doing bad things. And he was making bad things worse in the relationship that they had. But not only that, Joseph, I mean, he's 17. He hasn't, but all these trials and these troubles are going to perfect him. They're going to do some things in his life. Because he's also pretty proud and kind of braggadocious, really. Because he tells them of his dreams. I had this dream. He tells his brothers, I had this dream. We all are gathering in the harvest. And we all put our harvest into these big sheaths. And my sheath stood up and all of you all bowed down to me. And then he said, oh yeah. And then I had another dream. And my other dream was the sun and the moon and 11 stars. You think they got the message? 11 stars. All bowed down before me. Let me tell you, the family's having a lot of problems. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of jealousy. The amazing thing is that God works and even uses imperfect people. Praise God that he does, or you and I wouldn't have any hope of being used of God. Amen. But God uses imperfect, flawed people. And he works in our life to shape us, to make us into what he wants us to be. You'll see that all throughout the scripture that God uses people that are unlikely candidates, flawed and imperfect. And he shapes them and he molds them and he makes them and he uses them. And praise God that he can use you and I, even in our weaknesses and our failures and our imperfections, God can put his hand upon your life and use you. Amen. And don't ever think that's not possible. Amen. Because God can take your life with all your failures and all your mistakes and everything you've done in the past, and God can do something with your life if you'll give your life to him. Amen. God can do a work in your life. So God uses imperfect people. That's number one. Number two, through the life of Joseph, we can learn how to face adversity by the grace of God. As I said, there's no indication at all that he responded to all of these things in bitterness or anger. Somehow the grace of God was on him. And he went through those experiences and through those difficult times. And the grace of God was upon him, helping him to face trouble and adversity without getting bitter. Let me tell you, bitterness can do a lot of damage in your heart. Amen. It can do a lot of damage. We all have troubles. We all have things that we go through, adversity in our lives. We all experience different types of setbacks in our life. Job said, man that is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. John 16, it says, in the world you shall have tribulation, Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You will have trouble. You will have tribulation. You will have adversity in your life. The important thing is, how do you respond to it? How do you respond to it? Do you let the grace of God help you? Do you let a supernatural strength and power? That's what the grace of God is. The grace of God that can help you to face the things that you are going through, the adversity, the problems that you deal with. God gives you grace for them. Hebrews 12 and 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. When that happens, a root of bitterness will spring up and trouble you. But not just you, but everyone around you becomes defiled. Everyone around you is affected by it. If you see a person that's dealing with bitterness, you can sense their bitterness in their spirit. Sometimes it's in their speech. Sometimes you can see it on their countenance that they're bitter. When you allow bitterness to grow in your heart, everyone around you is defiled. Everyone around you is impacted by it. You don't have to allow that to happen. Ask for the grace of God to help you through what you're dealing with today. Amen. And God's grace is sufficient to help you in your trial. And Joseph went through false accusation, being forsaken and forgotten in a prison. And somehow through all of that adversity, the grace of God was upon him. The Lord was with him. God was helping him go through all those things. And he came through it all on the other side. And the plan of God was unfolding, and God was working and moving in his life to do something wonderful. Praise God. Amen. So we learn how to face adversity by the grace of God. Number three, we learn to serve. This is from the life of Joseph. We learn to serve with excellence in every circumstance. Amen. No matter what you face. Amen. He worked for Potiphar so faithfully that his household was blessed. He rose to the top wherever he was at. When he was thrown in prison, after a while, the hand of God was upon him. Again, he rose to the top. It says that the keeper of the prison didn't even know what was going on. He completely entrusted everything into the hand of Joseph. Praise God. Amen. Let me tell you, no matter what the circumstance you're in, if you'll do it with all of your heart, if you'll just give it to God, you may think I'm not in the position or the place that I want to be in my life. I don't want to be in this particular place. But if you'll serve as unto the Lord, if you'll do what you're doing as unto the Lord with excellence, then God will honor what you're doing, and he'll bless what you're doing. Colossians chapter 3, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Do it as if you are doing it for God and not for men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God in whatever circumstance that you are in. And that's what Joseph did. He found himself basically a servant in Potiphar's house. And instead of being bitter about it, instead of just being angry about the situation that he was in, he just decided, well, I'm going to make the best of this. I'm going to do what I can do to honor God in this bad situation. I'm going to honor the Lord, even though I'm just a servant. I'm just a slave in Potiphar's house. I'm going to give glory and honor to the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatsoever your hand, thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And that's what he did. He gave his best to it. And now, The same thing was true when he was imprisoned, that instead of being embittered by the situation, instead of being angry about the situation, he just determined, well, I'm going to make the best of this. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to serve even in this dark place. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give it. I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. And I'm going to do it to glorify God. And God blessed him and honored him and used him. So wherever you find yourself, do it as unto the Lord. And the example from the life of Joseph is he served with excellence in every circumstance that he was in. Number four, God can bring good out of hardship. Yes, he can. God can bring good out of your trial and out of your hardship. The verse that we always go to on this subject is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Praise God. Amen. Whatever the trial, whatever the hardship, that doesn't mean it's all good. It just means that when it all comes together, when you look back on the past and you review your life experiences, you'll see that hardship and the part it played in the shaping and the forming and the working in your life. Amen. God can use any of it. Amen. To shape you into what he wants you to be. Amen. And if you give your best and do it for the glory of God and honor the Lord in the midst of your trial and your trouble, God is able to help you. A lot of years ago, 1979, we came here, had a couple little babies, and we moved to London. And Brother Huff got me a job at CompCare driving a bus for mentally retarded adults. And when I got the job, I needed a job, but I just thought, man, I don't think I want to do this. I wasn't all that excited about the job, that's for sure. But it was a job, and in that situation, you know, I had on my mind, Lord, I want to do ministry. I want to do something for you. But that's where God put me at that particular time. This was 1979. Yeah, that's a long time ago. But let me tell you the positive side of all that experience. Now, when I review it, it was during that time, well, for one thing, I learned to love people that I would not normally have loved. And they loved me back. Yeah. I wouldn't have normally have known them, but I learned to care about them and to love them. But then also, it was an opportunity for me to go back to school. My schedule was such that I was able to go to Cumberland, and I went, I think, 3 semesters to Cumberland to continue education there. It gave me that opportunity that I might not would have had. So all I'm doing is just going to work, driving the bus, and picking up people and take them to their classes. But after about 2 years of that, they came to me and they said, you know, the guy that's the director over this program has moved on to another job. Are you interested? So I went from the bus driver to the director of the program. And the next year after that, they came to me again. And this was as we were making preparations to move to Oklahoma to start the church out there. They came to me again and they said, we got a different job for you. Would you like to be the regional director over all of these programs all over the 5th district? Would you be willing to do that job? And of course, I had to turn it down because we had other plans. I'm just simply saying, God knows where to put you and how to work in your life and how to position you and to train you and to shape you into what he wants you to be for his glory if you'll just honor the Lord in whatever circumstance that you're in and understand that God can work even through hardship, through difficult times in your life. That's number four. Number five, trust God's purpose His plans are bigger and better than yours. Amen. Joseph learned the importance of being where God wanted him to be. And God positioned Joseph in Egypt. And he was able to preserve Egypt in their time of drought. He was able to preserve his own family when they came in need. He was able, God had put him in such a position that he was able to take care of his family, and even said to his brethren, when you read the next verses after the verse that I just read as the text, after he said, "You meant it for evil, God meant it for good." But then in the next verses, he says, "But I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you." And that's exactly what he did. You know that most of Joseph's brethren were shepherds. They were shepherds. And the nation of the Egyptians, they had a problem with shepherds. In one verse it says, "For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians." They were kind of proud and arrogant. And so because of their lower position in life, they gave to them a land called Goshen and said, "We don't want you to mix with us. We want all the shepherds and the sheep herders. You live in Goshen." God was going to use that, because it was in Goshen that God was going to preserve the purity of the nation of Israel, so that the lineage of Christ was going to be born through that lineage. He preserved it by setting them apart from the Egyptians. And even when all the plagues fell upon Egypt, there was no hail in Goshen. The lights stayed on in Goshen. They didn't suffer all of the other plagues that fell on all the Egyptians. They were in Goshen, and God preserved them and protected them from all of that. Why? Because he was preserving a nation that the Messiah was going to be born through that lineage. Praise God. And the plan of salvation was going to unveil. Glory to God. Amen. Now, obviously, Joseph couldn't have understood all of the great plan of God, nor can you or I. We don't understand the plan of God. We don't understand it all. We can just trust that God is at work in our life. The hand of God in all my life I see. And actually, it won't be until we're in eternity, till we're in heaven, that we really see all the reasons why. Hallelujah. We really understand what God was doing, how he was preserving, how he was providing, how he was protecting you, and what his plan was. And it'll all be understood one day in eternity. Amen. But we can trust that God's plan is certainly a lot better than our plans. When you put your life and your future and you put it into the hands of the Lord, God can work and shape and design in your life some wonderful things that you could never, ever have imagined. Praise God. Amen. And so you'll see the hand of God at work in your life. Amen. Maybe in your older years, you'll be able to review your life and see the hand of God. But really, not until we're in heaven, we're in eternity, will we really see all the reasons why. Amen. Praise God. Amen. In heaven, we're gonna understand it, as the song says, in the by and by. We're going to understand all the things, all the reasons, all the things that have transpired in our life experiences. Amen. And Joseph could not have imagined that God was working not only to preserve his family, not only to preserve Egypt, but to preserve the lineage of Christ, Christ was to be born in. He could never have imagined all the wonderful, wonderful reasons why. Amen. When he was in the prison, when he was in Potiphar's house, when he was in the pit being betrayed by his brethren, He could have never comprehended how that God was going to use all those experiences to work his plan. Amen. And you don't know, nor do I. We don't understand all the reasons why and some of our needs, our problems, but we have full confidence that God knows what he's doing. Praise God. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful example from the life of Joseph. Oh God, we thank you for your mighty hand that is upon our lives. Let us pray, Lord, for each one in this place today, especially some that may be going through times that they're questioning their problems. They're questioning some of the circumstances that they're in, some of the needs that they have, some of the dark side, the difficult trials, Lord. We don't always understand, but we know, God, that you're trustworthy. And we can put our trust in you today and know that we're your children and you can work through all kinds of circumstances in our life. And we thank you, Lord, for that wonderful hope, that confidence that we have in you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Glory.